All right. Hello and welcome to another episode of Your One Black Friend podcast. I am your host, Jolie. Today we have a special guest. No, this way. And that is Gary. Gary Lee of Optimum College. And I'll let you
That's me.
carry on and introduce yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm Gary Lee, founder of Optimum College. I'm here. Joe and I met on TikTok. It was like serendipitous. And we were both posting about, this is going to sound so crazy. We were both posting about mind viruses.
Yeah.
And I think that's how we connected. Because I
Yeah,
was posting about this video game where there's a big theme of like mind viruses.
the basilisk. It was Rocco's
Yes,
basilisk.
Rocco's Basilisk. That's
But I
right.
hadn't known that you had posted that. The video
Yeah.
I saw was the one where your video had gone viral and this Florida man had
Yes.
gotten like arrested because he stormed.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, I think he
Yes.
stormed like the FBI's.
No, it was better. Space Force.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, so he stormed Space Force. So Gary put out a video, and what was the content of the video?
So I'd been making TikToks that were very like very straight-laced and to the point, and I say what I mean, and I've been doing it for like over a year. And then one day I was like, I'm gonna really switch it up. I'm gonna try and I don't try and like troll people too bad, but I was like, I'm gonna make a one that's kind of a little bit of a troll to, just to promote this video game we're working on. Because at Optimum College, we're working on this VR video game. We're making the first traditional fighting game for virtual reality, like Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter, but in VR. And so I was like, what's the best way to announce that we're making this video game? I know, I'll do a video where it starts as a normal video where I'm talking about science and technology and stuff. And then the screen goes pixelated. And this demon character, who's the villain of the game, Rocco, kind of like Rocco's Basilisk, he appears and is like, I've taken control of this screen. And some guy, I think it was this dude, because somebody called me and it was like, Gary, check the news. This guy thought that video was real. Because I had a pretty big reach on TikTok. I was getting sometimes over a million views and stuff on videos. And so a lot of people saw this video of Rocco saying that he's going to war against humanity with his dragon. And some crazy guy a few days later is in the news for trying to storm Space Force to warn them about an alien trying to go to war with his dragon and destroy humanity. It was like all over the news.
Right, so basically your video went viral and somebody watched the video, thought it was real,
I
and
think
wanted
so,
to
yeah.
alert Space Force
Space
that
Force.
the basilisks who have taken the form of dragons, an alien species, have now stormed Earth, I guess, and they're taking over. And so he wanted to warn Space Force, which I actually commend that. I mean, honestly, I don't like using the word crazy because it's so like I mean, he clearly perceived it. So it shows that he had enough
Maybe
faith.
a little bit.
Huh?
Maybe a little bit.
Well,
Maybe
you're
he's a little
basically
bit crazy. I don't
convincing.
know.
You're convincing. So to me,
I
that
that's
tells me.
true. I took the video down because I felt so bad. I didn't want to be the guy who's trying to make crazy people storm Space Force. I'm
Well,
just not.
I don't know, he's crazy. If you're convincing, so that's something I had to learn from being on YouTube. Actually on TikTok primarily, is that sometimes I would put out content where I'm just like deadpanning to the camera. And I had a video quite similar to that where I had said that robots were being like so a company called Alpha Tech,
Right.
a company called
Dr.
Alpha
Holly
Tech.
Graham, right?
Yeah. No. This was
Yeah.
I called the video Conspiracy Theorists of the Future. Right. And then I just sat and I'm looking at the camera and I said, a company called Alpha Tech are putting out self-aware sentient robots, except that they're not actually self-aware sentient robot. What's going on is that homeless people are being kidnapped, taken from the streets, their consciousness is being forced into these robots. And then that's what they're using to sell these robots. And then I kind of went off and I was like, there's videos on, I think I called it U-Talk. Like, you can go to U-Talk right now and find the videos of these robots like coming to life and like screaming their real name. So it was this whole thing. And people were like, where are these videos? Somebody sent me this long message about, I used to work for Alpha Tech, and you're right, that these robots are actually not robots, they're people who've been kidnapped. And I was like, that's fascinating, but I made it up. Like, what was it?
Yeah.
It said conspiracy theories of the future. And then in the comments, like, people were like, oh my God, this is crazy. I knew it. You know, the world's coming.
I can't believe it.
Oh, that's on me, because I thought I put a lot of stuff to like let people know that this was just a conspiracy theory of the future. And considering the fact that like we don't have sentient robots right now, at least I don't think
that we know of,
commonplace in people's homes anyway. Like, I just kind of thought that it would, but it wasn't them. It was the way I was telling the story. Like, it was just so convincing. And then they were trying to find out more information. So you have to be kind of mindful, like, yeah, sometimes it's the person, maybe, but sometimes it's you. Like, sometimes it's just the way you're delivering a message that is so convincing that people just kind of believe it.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I'm just saying. I'm not even trying to be like snarky or anything. Like, that is
my good friend Spider-Man.
His uncle.
And if you believe that, then you'll believe anything that my good friend is Spider-Man.
No. I'm just saying, some people have the ability to like move people. And it happens through history. So there's a reason why Socrates was charged for corruption of the youth, because he had that power. He would speak and people would listen. And no matter what his philosophy was, the youth would follow.
Yes. Yeah. It's wild. I came here for advice because, and you can convince me of anything. The moon is fake. Space is fake. Maybe
you
space is
fake.
I did watch that. I watch all your stuff, Joe. You're the best. I said, when I told you, you got my favorite podcast, I wasn't just trying to flatter you. I love your podcast.
Well, that's
I listen to your podcast and I'm like, yes, Joe. Yes. What's your fan base called?
Huh?
What's your fan base? What's the name of your fan base?
I don't have
That's what I am.
I just, honestly, I feel like you should go and look at the video I put out yesterday. If you look at the thumbnail for the YouTube thumbnail, it's ridiculous. Like, there's like melted ice cream in the background. It's like fucking strawberries.
There are
two guys in the corner that are supposed to be Klingon. They're holding ice cream, but they're in armor.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't care. Nobody, like, there's like five people watch my video.
You know, it doesn't, you know? It's okay though. It's
no,
okay.
I know, that's why I did it. I was like, because like if I had like as many people following me like on YouTube as I did on TikTok, people would be like, what the fuck's up with your thumbnail? Like, why did you do this? What is with the ice cream with the...
And because I can. Because
I wanted to. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I came here because... Oh, we were talking because I was sick. I thought maybe I had COVID or maybe, I don't know. I don't know what I had. I just know I was sick. And I had a fever for like a week. And I was like, I felt like I was going to die. I had a pounding headache. By the way, do I have like that voice, that noise in my voice where it sounds like I need a glass of water?
No.
You know what I mean? Like that... Where it's like that's because my mouth feels a little dry. I did not smoke before this podcast. I'm just saying my mouth is a little dry. But anyway, if it doesn't bother you, that's okay. So I was really sick. I'm like, I'm going to die. That's what I felt like. I'm going to die. My head was pounding. And I have a friend who died of the flu when she was in her... I don't even think she was 30 years old yet. And this was over a decade ago. And so I was like, I could actually die. And so I'm laying down on my bed thinking I'm going to die. And then I start seeing the most vivid images in my mind of it was like virtual reality, but I was a kid, and I could see my mom, and I was like at her knees, and I could see my friends. These weren't just like typical dream images. These were actual memories. I'm convinced of it. These were actual memories, because I could see my old friends when I was like 6 years old, and like where we used to walk to school. And I started having these flashbacks of like my life. And I was like, oh my God, I'm dying. This is my life review. And I had a huge adrenaline shot, and I messaged you, and I was like, I think I just had a like near death experience.
That was last year.
Yeah.
Oh shit. I remember that.
And I was like, yes. Yes. It was actually an amazing, it was amazing advice you gave me.
What did and I say? I was,
oh my gosh, I got to check it. Because it was actually amazing. I started crying. I read what you said back to me, and I started crying. I should read it. That would be really good. And then I recorded this video right afterwards that I never made public, but I was like sobbing and talking about it. Let's see here. What's going on? Like, is the afterlife, what is going on with the afterlife, reincarnation and all that?
Well, there's a book I would recommend. It's called Is There Life After Death? It's by Anthony Peake. Now, Anthony Peake is still alive, and he just a small group of people know about his stuff. But if you have a chance to read his works, it's very well researched. And he talks about the end of life review, and that we just sort of loop back into the same life. So his books are very interesting. Another one is Cheating the Ferryman and the Daemon. So he gives a lot of information about like a lot of research of people throughout history who have like had near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences where they've experienced this like end of life review. Some people who have been close to like illness, also have had the same sort of thing happen to them, where like they think they're about to die, and maybe they did die, right? And then they had a life review, and then they came back. So it's not abnormal. I think just less people, there's not that many people who talk about it, or they're afraid to talk about it because they're afraid of being like dismissed as, you know, crazy.
Yeah, because I thought it was fake. And I thought that was one of those things that is just not real. And then it happened to me. I'm reading the message I sent you afterwards, and it's like, I'm literally reading this. I noticed faces from my past. This is what I sent you. Old streets, I'm shorter for some reason. It hits me. These are real memories from when I was a child. I'm literally having a classic life flashing before my eyes moment. I thought it was just a myth or figure of speech. I'm literally reading the message. No, it's real. And so I popped wide awake to message you because I just had a sci-fi thought. What if life flashing before the eyes is just the simulation uploading our consciousness to the next body? I don't know. All I know is that I know what I saw. It's real. And you were like, bro, are you dying? Because, yeah. No, it gets so good. It gets so good. Bro, are you dying? Yeah, because something is glitching somewhere. Do you have... Okay, hold on. And then you give me some advice. And you say, you give me some black seed oil in liquid form.
Yeah.
It tastes disgusting, but it works fast. The pills work as well. I believe you, but I'm a little concerned if you are sick enough to trigger a life review. And then here's... You said, and I said, where did we message? I think maybe it was an email. But you said something like, I think I've got another chance at life. And, oh gosh, I wish I could remember what you said to me. But it was so good. I started crying. I'm trying to remember the exact wording. It was something like, yeah, you do. Like, you do have another chance at life. But it was in relation to this. Maybe the timelines branched. Maybe I did die in another plane of reality. And, like, this is my new life. Right. And, yes. And it was so good. I started crying.
Well, so the one video that I did have that I think was probably the most popular video was the one that I talked about, like quantum immortality. But mm-hmm. I think the video was called like We Die Every Day. Right. And the mm-hmm. idea is that we are constantly experiencing mass extinction events without even realizing it. Because if you think about how many things are at the precipice of wiping out humanity, like disease, like asteroids, just the fact that just day by day, we're still like waking up.
It's
like,
crazy. It's amazing that we've gotten this far.
Yeah, I'm 40 years old. What's going on? Like, I do think that we're dying and shifting realities and dying and shifting realities because consciousness cannot experience death, right? The body does.
Yes.
Right? But you just shift and shift and shift. And so this was a long time ago. I mean, gosh, like this was late fall. So like the mm-hmm. fact that I'm rewinding it that far, I thought this was like recently. Yeah. But I feel like I said something along the lines of just, you know, you've got a new opportunity, you've shifted into a new world and just sort of follow with that. But, you know, just taking solace in the fact that like nobody dies, you know?
Yes. And this is something that's really, I want to talk to you about this reincarnation. What are the odds that we are alive right now at this place and time, especially when we're like building the simulation? You know, like we have the technology now with, did the voice cut out?
No, I can hear you fine.
Okay, good. Yeah. Especially this time when we're building the next reality through virtual reality and artificial intelligence, like what are the odds? I think you are right. I think consciousness cannot die. I think you're absolutely right. It's the only explanation I have.
Read the God Cannibals series. I'm trying to make sure.
Oh, this series? Is what you're writing.
I'm writing it. Yeah. It's not that long. It's probably going to be like 35 pages, like in a Microsoft Word document. So maybe like 60 pages. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be a short story, but we're weaving in. I don't know why I said we. I guess me and my higher self are weaving in like explanations. Because I had a friend like look it over and she was like, there's a couple of things where you're talking about observation. And she's like, I don't understand how observation changed a person's like behavior. So I was like, I've got to go back in because I'm talking about the observer effect and how observation collapses wave functions and brings things, mm-hmm. you know, from waves of probability to particulate form. I can't just throw shit like that in a book and just be like, you get it, right? Like, I've got to go back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like explain what I mean by that and what that means and explain it in a way that like the average person reading that goes, okay, I get it now.
Is it a fiction? Is it a fiction
I'm gonna call it fiction. It's like science fiction, but it's not hard fiction. So that's what I'm going back in and I'm really softening it and I really wanna like sit like I'm telling a story on like YouTube where you're watching and then it makes sense. But the idea is that and the way I break it down, I think you would really enjoy it. I think so. Because the way I break it down is the universe itself is a consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And then it fractures itself into all of these forms. And then there was a time when all of the forms were aware that they were the universe just in different forms, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something happened when they in the process of interuniversal fertilization.
What else are you going to call it?
It makes sense. But in the process of interuniversal fertilization, they came across, I don't want to spoil it, but they came across another consciousness and stuff happened. And so they began to forget who they were. And then death became real. Uh-huh. And then the fear of death became real. And so we're weaving in like theories of like, you know, quantum physics, quantum immortality, but also theosophy. And this concept of like from Hinduism, Buddhism rather, and all of the above, but into a story that hopefully when you're done reading it, you also feel like an incarnate of a higher level consciousness and you truly feel as though, okay, I cannot die. I cannot experience death, right? It's just the form. That's the idea anywhere. That's the hope that that's, you know.
I'm a true believer. And I'm going to read this. I'm sure I'm going to love it. I love everything you do. It'll be on Kindle?
It will be in Kindle. I was going to put it on Gumroad, but I figured if I put it on Kindle, then at the very least I can, if people want to leave reviews, and hopefully they're nice reviews,
mm-hmm.
don't leave a bad review. Email me if you don't like it.
We will figure out where you live. We will find your IP address. No, we
won't. That's okay. But you can email me. Don't leave a bad review if you don't like it. But the idea is if people like it, then leave a review on Kindle and Amazon, and then I will help. And then I would then turn it into like an audiobook, you know?
Yes.
And then eventually I want to like create like a narrative fiction, like a narrative, like a visual of it.
I love
like
it.
Story. And then I want to keep putting out like fictions like this and kind of building it up from there, but also discussing the concepts.
Why is it called the God Cannibal?
Huh?
Why is it? I love the name, but why is it called the God Cannibal?
I don't want to spoil it.
It's a great name. Okay, because it's a great name. It's like I have to know.
Well, you put two together, right? So you think about the idea of what a god is, and then you think about the idea of what a cannibal is. Like a cannibal is an entity that consumes itself. Right? So like if I ate a human being, I'm a cannibal.
Yeah.
If I eat a cow, you're not
another
a cannibal.
Another god.
Yeah.
Eat another god. Perfect.
Yeah.
And it's so now I gotta alluring, make that. And you got to figure out, you know, it makes people want to learn more. What's going on here? Yeah.
God cannibal. So it's going to have a really nice, like, you know, kick at the end. And then it's going to build up to like an anthology where it's just different stories.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
Perfect. Yeah. Oh, you're going to, yeah. And I don't think your audience knows, but we've been talking about making you a video game character.
Oh yeah, did I mention it? I don't think I've mentioned it yet. No.
Yeah.
The Dark Oracle.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Please tell me more how that came about.
Well, the Dark Oracle, that's from, you said that, I think.
No, it's my whole podcast. I meant the video game, though. But I do have a podcast called The Dark Oracle's Guide to the Multiverse. Like,
50 yes.
That's an anthology. And please feel free to check it out. It's available
everywhere. Exactly. Exactly. Because you really are. I really believe in this idea that some people are prophets. And I want to be very careful with this word, because I know that there are certain people who are like, oh, there was a final prophet and blah, blah. I know. I'm not trying to offend anybody. But if you go read the Old Testament, the old Israelites, the people of, because there are all different tribes in the Old Testament, the people of the Old Testament, they were convinced that like every congregation, every group of humans had like one or two prophets. So there wasn't just like, you know, a handful of prophets. It's like there's a prophet for every 150 people or so. It's like just something that the universe distributes, maybe through our genetics. I don't know, you know, kind of like how ants have roles. Like one ant is born as a warrior. One ant is born as the door. You know, some ants have their head is like a door. Like they're the door. The ant is the door. Yeah, for the colony. Anyway, some people are born as prophets, I think. They've got this like preternatural ability to see the future, to see the big picture. And I think you are one of those people. And it would be really cool if we could just lean into this kind of stuff with a video game. Because if you go around, you know, I think it'd be just really cool to lean into the stuff with a video game and take people and make them into the superheroes that they are inside, but in a video game. So, you know, we could like live out that fantasy. Anyway, I think you would be the perfect character for like a character in a video game. And so we're making this VR game. It's going along good. And, what would your stage be? What would your super moves be?
Oh, my abilities would be, it would be the ability to yeah. predict the future, but yeah. nobody listens to me.
Yeah, it's like, I made a video a while back, Everyone Hates a Prophet. I made it after Encanto. You know, they treated poor Bruno. Have you seen Encanto with Bruno?
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh, you've got to see it.
What is that? Is that a...
Encanto. It's a Disney,
like a Disney animated movie? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Unless you've got something against Disney, I think your family would love it.
I mean, my daughter's probably seen it. I just.
Yeah, because I'm a grown ass man and I love it. which sounds weird. I like Disney. Prince of Egypt, my favorite movie. I love these animated movies. Yeah. Anyway, there's a prophet.
What were you going to say about? Yeah, tell me that.
Okay, so in Kanto, there's a character named Bruno, and we're not supposed to talk about Bruno. That's one of the jokes. Not really a joke, but that's kind of one of the themes of the movie. And you're not supposed to talk about him because everyone in the Magical family has a special power. This movie is seriously so good. It's one of the best Disney movies ever made. It's not even a kid's movie. It's like very good. And everyone in the Magical family has a special power. And Bruno can see the future, but he becomes an outcast because people don't want to hear the future. They don't want to know about how they get fat. You know, they want to think that their life is perfect. They don't want to hear about how their goldfish is going to die in a week. They don't want to hear that. So they make him an outcast. Poor Bruno. Nobody listened to him.
It was Cassandra. Cassandra is the same kind of premise. That's probably where they got it from. But Cassandra in the story of Troy.
Yeah.
The second of Troy. She was, I think, the sister of, what was his name? The one that got like dragged through by
Hector.
I think she was, yeah. I think she was Hector's sister. And she kept saying like, hey, there's people coming. We should probably leave. And
yeah.
They were like, shut up.
Yeah. It's like Socrates too. I don't know. I think you were talking about Socrates either before we pushed record or I can't remember if it was before.
No, it was actually after because we were talking about how like you've got the ability and maybe, you know, you should lean into that. But yeah, what were you going to say about Socrates? Yeah.
Well, they made him drink hemlock, right? And it's because he was a prophet, you know, maybe not a prophet in this religious sense, but in the sense that he could see the future in a way. And he warned the Athenians, look, we're going to get beaten by the Spartans. And they didn't listen and they lost to Sparta, just like he said. And instead of being like, oh, Socrates, maybe you were right. They made him drink hemlock. It's like,
yeah, well, you know. They didn't want
we have to appreciate people like Joe. Well, she's, you know, she's going to be here forever, by the way.
Actually, will be. I just won't be in this physical form. You watch that video that nobody dies and actually like unequivocally
watched
the only thing.
I try and watch all your videos.
Well, so it was a short and I actually put it on a podcast as well because I was like thinking about it and I was like, this is actually true. The only thing that's like everybody is immortal. In fact, like your birth date and your death date, that's the period of time in like a location in space time wherein you can be found. Okay. So if I died like yesterday, the only thing stopping you from like interacting with me is a time machine. So if you can build a fucking time machine, then you can go and talk to anybody that's dead right now because all of time is happening right now, right? The flow of time is an illusion.
Yes.
Experiencing the flow of time. So then if you can build a time machine, you can literally go and have a conversation with Socrates right now because he is in Athens from this, you know, from whenever he born to. So just like set your coordinates to that moment in space-time and then just go and talk to him. So then if that's the case, then nobody dies. It's just that you can't, like after a certain date, they no longer exist or you can't access them, but that's
I think you're totally right. Yeah. Time isn't even, I don't think time is even real.
Well, it's just a fabric, right? Or a map. And so everybody.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about like, what is a, exactly. Hmm? Yeah. Well, if you think about like a stop, like a watch and you say, if I say something like time isn't real and someone could say like, you're wearing a watch. Maybe someone would hold up a watch and say, oh, time isn't real. Then what's this? And I'd say, that's relative motion. You're pointing at a little dial moving. You're not pointing at time. Time isn't real. Only relative motion is real. Time is not real. Everything is happening now.
Yeah.
All right now. So where are these other points in time being stored? I think maybe they're stored in the, like you said, in the fabric itself, maybe infinite depth, like some kind of infinite fractal. If you could zoom in on any atom, you would find that that atom is like a galaxy. And so we see countless atoms around us. There's more atoms in this pencil than we could ever count. There's more atoms in this pencil than there are galaxies in our observable universe. And maybe every single one, every one of those atoms is like a little galaxy, and you could zoom into that. And there's countless worlds, and every single timeline is here. Every timeline is around us, hidden in these atoms.
You'll really like God Cannibal.
I'm going to love it. I'm sure.
I think you'll like it. Because I do talk about that.
Yeah.
As well. Not quite the way you described it. I actually really like that. I was writing it down. Like, you zoom into an atom and there exists a galaxy. Not a universe, but a galaxy. I like that. So galaxies within galaxies, but all contained.
Yes.
In the universe. Yeah.
Fractal.
Or a universe. Yeah.
When you talk about mind parasites and stuff, I think there might actually be something to that. It's just so it's just such a terrifying concept. If that's true, that we live in an infinite fractal, and what happens, you know, there's countless atoms in your brain. Let's say this is true, that you could just zoom in forever. What if one of these atoms, one of these trillions and zillions and quintillions of atoms in your brain, the little beings in that atom realize that they're inside of a brain, and they're like, maybe we could hijack this. Maybe we could hijack this brain. You know, maybe I'm talking crazy.
So there's an episode I did where I talked about, is sound conscious? I think the episode.
I love that. Yes. I love that one.
So Michio Kaku said that there are microscopic black holes consistently coming in and out of existence, right? And so if you imagine your mind as a dimension and then a microscopic black hole as essentially a way for entities from other dimensions to sort of pop into your mind at any point in time, like you said, just giving the sheer amount.
Exactly.
Right. Like, could something enter even within your own mind? Something that you could only perceive with sound. Right.
Yeah.
And then that becomes something akin to Wetiko or the mind virus, where it starts sort of directing your life and draining you of your energy.
Right. Why can't sound be alive? Probable. We're just a waveform.
Exactly.
Right. It's a very complex waveform.
Right. A low vibrational, that's energy. Matter is just energy vibrating slowly. So why wouldn't a sound wave also be, or what we would perceive of as sound? That doesn't mean that they are actually sound entities, but we would only be able to perceive them as sound waves. Like, why do we think that aliens would have to look like Dr.
Yes.
Where is he? On my shirt.
I've never heard of any science fiction story where the sound is alive. Like, that's such a good idea.
Yeah, well, that's what you say. Like, idea. So when I emailed you yesterday, and you're like, "Well, I think AI can generate, you know, books," and I was like, "No, not yet. Not the way my mind works. No, because it only works from, it can only work from the information that has been input into it, right?
True.
And so it can just pull out information from there. My name, I'm not going to tell my full name, but my actual legal name has Anna and Molly in it, which is anomaly when you put it together. I don't think that it would be able to come up. Yes, so sure, like a basic story with like a normal premise, like save the cat or whatever, right? Yeah. Using that as a guideline to write a story that you can watch and turn your brain off, sure. But
We are the source. We are the source of the AI. I don't want to read a book from an AI anyway. I want to read a book from Joe. I don't want to read it. Some stupid. It's like, I don't want to play chess against a computer. I want to play chess against my friend.
Right. That's
fuck the AI. Like, fuck the AI.
The human element is even more important, I think, over time.
Yeah. I am a bit of a Luddite. I keep up. I don't know if the audience is unfamiliar with the word Luddite. It's somebody who's like, doesn't want technology to progress. Like, they're like, things are fine where they are. I think technology should just kind of get out of the way. It should become invisible to us. It's good at connecting people. It connected us. But I think it should get out of the way and let people, give people the time and resource to have more time and resource with their friends and family. And just kind of get out of the way. Become invisible. Let us write books. Let us record music. Let us play chess and sports. I think sports will be really big after AI and robotics kind of like does all the boring work for us.
Yeah, I think that's a way to look at it, right? Some people are looking at it as, okay, this is, we're going to use this to replace humans. And that's one perspective. But can we use this technology to cut out some of the tedium in order to allow for our creative work to, to be better, to improve our creative work a bit more, you know?
Exactly.
It depends on what camp you're in. Are you going to rely 100% like, oh, well, I need to write a book. Well, I'm just going to plug in some prompts into ChatGPT and that's what I'm going to put out. Sure. Mm-hmm. Do that. And you're probably going to make a quick buck. I don't know though. You'll suffer as an artist, I think, which maybe totally. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. You know?
It doesn't matter to some people. Yeah. And, but you almost going to look did, at time.
Yeah. Time. Is the book, I was going to say, I did use Midjourney to create these images for these video game characters. So it could be a useful tool. And I think eventually as there's now a program called Runway that can do what for video, what Midjourney does for pictures. So you could create videos on the fly from a text prompt. And I think eventually a year or two, we could take this video game with all these creators and like create a whole movie out of it, kind of like the Mortal Kombat movie. It'd be fun. I don't know. You could turn your stories into movies. Ooh, that might be one way. You could turn, because then it's still coming from a human. It's still coming from a human mind. You've got the God cannibal, and you don't. Someone might not have the resource to get all the actors together and film it.
No, I definitely don't have the resources.
yeah. But, or maybe that's just your cover.
No, I'm definitely in. Sidebar, go ahead and go to dressfordystopia.com and cop one of these shirts, please.
Cop it. I should go cop it. I love that shirt. I should cop some merch. I've got shirts now. Anyway.
What's your website? Plug it.
Okay. Optimum.college.
Okay.
Yeah.
Optimum.college. And you've got merch available for purchase on Optimum.college.
Oh, no. You can't buy it. You have to graduate. Yes. You have to graduate. It's only for... So normal schools have a graduation cap and gown. We have a t-shirt. Yeah.
I like the way you think. This is interesting. See, I like that. Yeah. I have to get outside the box.
Yeah. Oh, the whole school's... I could give a plug for it. Can I give a plug
Please,
for
go
it?
Please, go for it.
Okay, cool. The idea with Optimum College is that it's for anybody, by the way. It's college in the sense of a community of colleagues. You can really graduate, though. And the idea is there's only one course. It's at your own pace. It's online. It's called the Optimum Theory of Everything. It talks about everything. And it's only a two-hour video textbook that covers everything. Theories on how the universe began, if it even began. Theories on how the universe will end, if it will end. Theories on what consciousness could be and how life could have begun and how socioeconomics works and everything. Maybe we'll upload our consciousness. It explores some really wild ideas. So people watch this video. Then I Zoom chat with them about it and about themselves. It's like a podcast episode. And we talk about a project. Like, what's a project? Like, let's say, Joe, if you were going to be a member at Optimum College, I can make you, you don't have to do all this. I can make you a honorary optimist, as I call it. Could I make you an honorary optimist?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Because you've already done everything. You already know all the stuff that we talk about at Optimum College. And you've already completed a project. So many projects. But let's say you hadn't done all that stuff. We would record a kind of podcast, like kind of like how we're doing now. We talk about a project, like a painting or, you know, starting a podcast, your own podcast or starting a clothing company. And after the member understands these ideas, they never have to agree, only understand. You know, if they have to agree, it becomes like a cult. But this is real academics. They never have to agree with anything. Not even with me. And after they understand these ideas and complete what is called an optimum project, which is like a proof of work. Like, you don't want to just tell people what you're capable of. You want to show them. So the idea is you can show people what you're capable of. They become a certified optimist, and they get a personalized letter of recommendation from me or a member of our staff. They get the episode of the podcast that they can upload to network, and they get a t-shirt, and they get a certification. They can put it on their resume. That's it.
Pretty cool.
Thank you.
I like the label certified optimist.
I know, right? It's good. Yeah, I love that. So Elon says he doesn't even care about degrees anymore. Elon Musk, he doesn't care about degrees. He only cares about proof of work and that people understand stuff. So the idea is to let anybody kind of get right into life. Instead of spending 2 to 12 years at school for an industry that might be completely automated away before they even graduate, they can, like, within a month, just jump right into life. That's the idea.
I like that. To speak about the fact that I've been saying this for years, that educational institutions as they are right now are completely outdated. There's no reason why you should have to be going to classes when they can record a professor talking about what he's talking about one time, and then just all of their students can watch that, right? But because it's a system, they're going to keep it going in this way, even though it's about like 50 years behind this, what we think about. If you redirect it, and this is actually happening at Oxford right now, university. So they're taking a different approach now where they're making it more about social intelligence and, you know, things in like the real world, right? As opposed to academics, because they understand that the academics, whatever it is you need to learn, you can learn on YouTube now. I think they get
right.
it. Right. So exactly. You're now paying into networking. That's it's a glorified networking, and you're paying for a brand name on your resume and to be able to network with people who are going to be in certain spaces. It's a bit of a gatekeep, to be honest, but that's what they've become.
It's a very expensive gatekeep.
Right. So I think maybe in 50 years, I mean, even now a bachelor's
right now
isn't worth much. Yeah. But maybe in 50 years, people are going to kind of look at a different thing. Like, as you said, okay, have you started a business? Have you, you know, do you, can you start something on your own from start to finish? Because if you're looking for things that a robot cannot do, that's the future, right? I think I have a video on this somewhere, but basically that's the idea, right? Like, you're worried about robots taking your jobs, then you have to start thinking or moving in ways where, okay, how can I move in a way that AI cannot move, right? So being able to be creative, to be able to think critically, to be able to innovate, right?
Absolutely.
That's going to become more valuable. And are you going to be one of the masses that are just going to rest on their laurels and allow AI to kind of sweep them away, or are you going to be able to move quickly? So can you
absolutely
complete something from start to finish that becomes more valuable
that you can show to a potential customer or employer or for networking opportunities? Yeah,
that becomes more valuable than just saying, well, I memorized some stuff for tests for 4 years.
We don't need to memorize anymore. We've got the internet. And this idea of, write me an essay. I can use ChatGPT to write an essay on Africa of swallows or whatever. You know, I was going to say, what was it like? About birds or whatever. I can use ChatGPT to do that. I don't need to actually do that. I just need to actually understand how the world works from first principles, from a big picture perspective. And that's it.
Yeah. It's a novel concept. I think it's innovative. And it's kind of ahead of its time, so to speak.
I think so. I think I'm going to be first to market on this.
Yeah.
And I went to college, and I feel like it was a waste of time. I do have a degree. I have a bachelor's degree in business. I graduated in 2008, which was the recession. And so my degree was like worthless. After 4 years of work, my degree was kind of worthless.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of bachelors aren't really, it's not even, I know people with bachelor's degrees have just gotten out of uni and they're not, it's hard for them to get an employment.
Maybe this is too personal. Did you go to college? You don't have to answer.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, what'd you study?
I studied psychology and I minored in religious studies and sociology. But yeah, I went to Truman State and then I transferred to Arizona State. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not that I'm more hesitant to talk about it because I learned absolutely nothing from it. I mean, it was a waste.
Yes.
It was a waste of time.
Yeah, I could have Googled anything I learned.
Yeah, I can't tell you what I learned, but I will say that the social aspects of it were great. Like I'm still friends with a lot of my sorority sisters. Well, whenever I stayed in contact with them, I don't know if I can say it, we're friends because like we hang out all the time. We're like spread out now, but occasionally you get text messages. Same with they're my frat brothers. They're historically bound organizations. So the Sigmas and the Zetas are kind of bound together, but I'm not like involved in this stuff. It's been years. But I value I value the experiences that I had in college, like the parties.
Right? That's what everyone says. Like I'm spending $50,000 to party, but
it wasn't that expensive for me. I had scholarships at Truman, and then when I transferred, I didn't have any scholarships, but it was just like, it was like 20 something a year out of state for ASU. But if you ask me what I got out of college, I can only tell you about like the parties. Like the parties were like a good time.
We want to have parties at Optimum College, but
I mean, do it. Different. You were saying how hard it is. That's the thing about college, like how hard it is to make friends, especially as an adult, because like in college, it's like I had my dorm room was like always open. People would just saunter in and watch TV. Like I would come in from class and people would just
be
watching.
You were very popular.
Huh?
I'm sure you were very popular.
I don't know. I was just like, whatever, I don't care. Like, I would, like, people would drive my car. Like, it's like, Dominic,
really?
Your car. I didn't care. Like, whatever, like, you know? And those were more, like, that was more fun. I can't think of even the classes that I don't remember the classes.
Yeah.
I remember the parties, and I remember the people that I met, and, like, the road trips and all that stuff. Like, that was more fun for me. Like, we went to Mardi Gras, and anyway, that to me is more... You know, if we could figure out a way to do that now for adults, where maybe it's like a condo, but not for old people. You know how they have like 55 plus community?
Right. It's so lonely living in it. I live kind of in a rural, I've got half an acre in kind of a rural setting. And a lot of times I think, I wish I just lived in kind of like a dorms, like with other people. And I don't know.
Yeah. Somebody should do that. Somebody should, they have.
There's something. Communal living, it's becoming more popular.
Yeah, well, just because they have 55 and up communities for like old people. And my mother-in-law, she's like lives in there. And I met up with her for her birthday last week. And all her friends were there.
You were talking about that in the last podcast.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a bit sad, but it's still like you're just hanging out with your crew, you know, playing bridge or whatever.
Right. Right. That's kind of how it's supposed to be. We are a tribal species.
Yeah.
We all were from, I've you know what I think about this. We're all from Africa. Mm-hmm. And that's where we have evolved. That's where the human spark was lit. And we were all from living a tribal lifestyle. Like that's how we were made to be. We were made to live in these tribes. And it's so lonely. I was talking to you the other day about the loneliness epidemic, and I think we do it to ourselves by isolating ourselves. We've gotten so far from this idea of living in community.
I quite agree. I think that's kind of what I was talking about. The episode that I posted, I think late last night, this morning, I just watched Medici, Masters of Florence. And it was fascinating to me because they didn't look at themselves as individuals. They looked at themselves as like a tree. And everything they did was for their family, right?
Yeah.
A bit of an extreme example. But I talked about how like here in the West, we are encouraged to just 18, you're out. And you're now isolated. you know, and I think mm-hmm. fully exploitable by, yes. you know.
Fully exploitable, you said?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, once you're isolated like that. In fact, actually, I was watching a boxing documentary about Muhammad Ali when he went to go fight. When they were saying like Ali, Kumbaya, whatever, Bumbaya. I forget. I think it was George Foreman. And mm-hmm. Don King was saying that, like, he was indirectly talking about the importance of community. He was like, but he was talking about, like, Black people. He was saying, like, you know, when on your own, you're just a Negro. But if you are together, now you're a group, you're a force. And yeah. so this idea that we're kind of forced, and we force it on our kids, where it's like, okay, you're 18, get out. You know, or now yeah. you're out of college, go get a job.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. why?
I had a guest speaker at Optimum College a while back, and he was like, yeah, it's weird how white people do that. you were saying like the Black community, I don't know if you were saying if that's really what you meant, but it's more like a community. It's like more like an actual community. Whereas white people are like, yeah, you're going to go live in this house by yourself and be lonely out in, I'm trying to remember the guest. I think this was a guest from, I don't want to screw it up, so I don't want to say the name because if it was not the guest, but I think it was one of my guests from a Latin American country. And he was saying like, yeah, here, like everyone lives together in the same house, like uncle, aunt, grandma, like we're all in this big house together. Ooh, this wasn't a guest. This was some guy I met in the real world I was talking to. I talked to a lot of people. I'm conflating a lot. It was a guy from Latin America. And yeah, he was telling me like in South America, Latin America, South America, he was saying, yeah, everyone's in the same house and it's so depressing out here. This idea of like you isolate in these, I don't know.
Maybe. No, I wholeheartedly agree. I think maybe that should be something where we just silently start pushing, or it's like, even I keep seeing an image of Van Gogh, mm-hmm. but also like artist communities. So artists would form communes where they would like,
yeah.
go and they would paint together and they would create yeah. together. Like we are, this is something I always say, that the worst punishment that you can give to a person who has committed the worst possible crime, aside from death, is yeah. solitary confinement.
Solitary confinement, absolutely. Yeah, it's the worst punishment.
And yet, that's kind of what a lot of people are doing to themselves.
Doing to themselves, yeah. absolutely. It's probably worse than death. After about a month, you're probably going to be wishing. That's why they put padding on the walls. So you can't bang your head against.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that's what society kind of creates for us, is a system where it's, you know, it's the individual and power to the individual, which I get it. But can we yeah. balance it, you know? Because mm-hmm. I think we're too far on one end.
I would really like to see us go back to this idea that was more common in I want to say Rome, Greece, of community spaces. The government would fund these big community spaces. I look at these recreations of the kind of bathhouses they had, and nothing weird. I don't want to be. There was a lot of weird stuff going on in Rome. Okay, I don't mean the weird stuff, but this idea of like the most like almost like a palace. But it was for everybody. And it was like giant pool space and like gyms and stuff. And this is going to sound kind of like YMCA, but I think we can do even better. And like something that is like, why isn't the government building really cool stuff? We've got the people. Like instead of going and bombing other countries, a military can build or it can create. Like even ants have figured this out. Army ants spend most of their time building. They're not going and invading. They're building. Why don't we take our military and like build really cool shit? Like this kind of stuff they had in Rome, like giant palaces, but for the people with pools. And you go and you feel like royalty, but you're just one of the commoners.
Clubs.
And I don't know. Is this crazy talk?
No, I like it. I, for whatever reason, tend to get a lot of viewers that are prior military. And you get to kind of, you know, listen to their stories, and you realize that, you know, a lot of these people went into the military because they didn't have any other opportunities. And it's almost set up in that way, if you ask me. And then a lot of them end up finding out that they were sold a bill of goods. And so this natural sort of like opposition to the people who branded them and tagged them and send them off to die kind of arises. And absolutely, I think that they would feel better about the choices that they're making if they were truly serving their community and their country, not in a destructive way, but in a constructive and creative way. I think they would feel better, you know, and the same thing with even the police. Like, it's become this sort of weird, corrupted thing. And some have made the argument that that was what the police force was created for, was to, you know, but you're telling me to protect and serve, then maybe.
I think it was. I think it was originally, I can be corrected on this. Someone could correct me on this. I think it was originally designed to capture escaped slaves.
Yeah, that was what it was. So, but the thing is though, but the lie you're selling me is protect and serve. So maybe stop lying and actually serve your communities, protect the community, go in, because maybe people wouldn't hate the police if every time you showed up, bad things, you know, like there wasn't like negativity associated. Nobody hates firefighters. I don't know anybody that's like, fuck the firefighters.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because they're actually serving the community. You call on them, they're not going to hose your ass down, right? They're going to get your cat out of the tree, you know, or like help you in that way. But it would take a reframing,
you know,
a serious reframing of.
There's a recruitment crisis right now going on in the military. They can't meet recruitment goals. And I've met guys who are down on their luck. I used to run sports fitness programs. That was actually my first entrepreneurial blah, blah, effort. As an entrepreneur, I would organize sports events. And I want to get back to that at some point under Optimum Athletics. I want that to be like the third branch of Optimum. Optimum College, Optimum Study, Optimum College, Optimum Studios, Optimum Athletics. And this is what I used to do. I used to get guys together, a lot of military guys. And there would be like homeless guys who would show up. There was this homeless guy who would show up to play with us. He was young. He was fit. He was a great athlete, but he's homeless. He was like living on someone's couch. And a lot of military guys would play with us. And they'd be like, why don't you join the military with us? And he was like, I don't want to kill people like me. He was a minority. He was like, I don't want to kill people like me in other countries. I'm not going to join the military. But if you could join the military and be like an engineer, and especially here in the United States, like you can join the military, you're going to build hospitals, you're going to build schools, you're going to build renewable energy grids, you're going to build these really cool public works projects. Yeah, I think that'd be amazing. That would get us back on track. That'd be kind of like the New Deal, the idea of the New Deal.
Right.
Yeah. I think that would really get us back on track.
The thought that pops into my mind is that clearly the people who are in charge right now of our politics in our country and even the world aren't doing a good job. No. And there was a time when most people were asleep and that, you know, it was fine. Yeah, but I think we're living in a reality where, or we found ourselves in a reality where more and more people are looking up and going, you know what, like, what are you guys doing?
That's why they tried to ban TikTok. I think that's why they tried to ban TikTok. They'll say China, whatever. No. It's because this was an app outside of their quote unquote control that allowed people, everyday people, to talk to each other without the fear of getting banned for saying something against the narrative.
I don't know if I agree with that. Sorry, I hate TikTok. Fuck TikTok.
It's okay. You can always disagree. You can always disagree with me. I don't think the moon is fake.
I definitely, that's all right. No, I didn't say it was, no. I never said it was fake. I never said it was fake. I said that we didn't
know. But I don't blame you for saying that though, because we've been lied to so much. And you might be right, by the way. I mean, there have been so many things that I thought were real. I don't think the Big Bang happened. And the more I look into that.
So the Big Bang needs five dimensions to work, but go on.
Well, I don't blame any skepticism, because we have been lied to so much. Like, look at Operation Northwoods. Do you know about that one?
You have to refresh my memory.
They were going, this was a document. Oh gosh, I'm going to get you. No, I don't want to get you demonetized. I don't want to get you.
Is that bad? In trouble. I'm Google it.
Are we good?
No. Can I talk about what it is? I mean, I don't think I would get. Let's see.
Also, you've got to go at a certain time, right?
Yeah, about. I could push it to 1:45, but.
Okay. I think we're good. I think I can talk about it. I've heard other people talk about it.
On it. So
yeah, okay.
Operation Northwoods was a proposed false flag operation against American citizens that originated within the U.S. Department of Defense of the United States government in 1962. There's a whole Wikipedia page on it. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. I
mean, National Security
the
Archives.
The fact that they were planning that, that's just what we know. That they were planning an attack on our own civilians as an excuse to go to war. That's what we know they did. They didn't do that. They were planning this. This was a potential operation as an excuse to go to war with Cuba. And there have been, like, the syphilis things they did to the black community.
Right.
You know? Or
Tuskegee or experiments.
What was Black Wall Street, where it's like...
The bombing of Black Wall Street, Tulsa.
Yeah. Exactly. Where it's like, you know, you said we should pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, and we did. And now we're out. Now we're out competing you, and you bomb us.
Yeah. The whole thing, it's you pay a lot of stuff. You pay attention to all that stuff. And then you realize that what we're told versus what actually isn't the case. Even Pearl Harbor. So it is said that they knew that the Japanese were going to, like, they were, the Japanese actually warned them to, like, get people out.
Right. Because
they, it was just more of a show of force. This is what, this is what the story goes. And that the government at the time allowed Pearl Harbor to be bombed just so that they would have a reason to go and attack. You know, the Japanese with nuclear weapons, I think partly to see as an experiment to see what happens if you drop nuclear bomb on people.
It's horrific. And now they're making a movie. They're making a movie about it called Oppenheimer. And it was like, I'm watching the trailer for this, for Oppenheimer, which is Oppenheimer was the guy who was in charge of the Manhattan Project to build the atom bomb. And who was also a victim of his own government. They first try to diagnose him as schizophrenic because he's a free thinker. He's a free thinker. He also did some wild stuff, but they tried to diagnose him. He, like, tried to poison someone who's a teacher who was trying to oppress him or something. Like, some teacher was trying to hold him. I don't know the whole story. People can correct me on this. But he, like, tried to poison some person who was trying to... Anyway, he was a brilliant guy who was diagnosed as a schizophrenic because he was so brilliant. But he's brilliant, and eventually he's in charge of building the atom bomb, and almost as soon as he builds it, the government figures out a way to get him blacklisted, and he has to go work as a cattle rancher. So the smartest man alive is now working as a cattle rancher. Fine job, by the way. That's probably what he should have been doing all along, being a cattle
rancher.
Nothing wrong with being a cattle rancher. But I'm watching the trailer for this movie, Oppenheimer, and it's like rah-rah. Like, yeah, we're bombing 200,000 people, and there's people cheering and American flags. I'm very proud of America, and we've been very successful. At the same time, like, this was a very sad event. Like, this is not rah-rah. Like, this is... Yeah.
It's death and destruction. Horrible. And a lot of the technology that, you know, that was developed from that is still used to harm people today. And I like your point where you're like, he maybe should have been a farmhand. It's almost like sometimes I have, like, weird thoughts. Like, I was thinking about, like, a reality where Hitler got into art school, you know?
Yes, right?
Like, this mother was just allowed to paint. You know, like, why is it, if they just let him paint, just let him draw.
Let the man paint.
You know, or his little designs and everything like that. Like, I was thinking about the person who was like rejected. Like he hit reject button. Yeah.
I had the worst joke about, oh my God, I do stand up comedy sometimes locally. Mm-hmm. I have the worst joke about this. Do you know that Bush? Do you know that Bush is a painter? George W. Bush.
Okay.
Yeah. After he became president, he retired to become a painter. His painting is like,
I've seen it.
Yeah. I got this joke where I'm like, oh my God. I go, you know that George W. Bush became a painter? Have you seen his artwork? Literally worse than Hitler. Hitler was a terrible person, but he was actually a pretty decent artist.
Oh my God. You're gonna get me demonetized.
he wasn't bad. It's supposed to be controversial. It gets the people going.
Those are his opinions and his opinions. I don't think it was that great of a painter. But I do think, I think about like chain of events. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, do you think that the person, somebody, if you want to do movies, do a movie about the guy who hit reject, like who stamped reject on Hitler's like application. I want to know that guy's story. Seriously, like this guy's just like a whatever. I don't know, have Tom Hanks play him, you know?
The kind of regret that guy must feel.
Yeah, and then you're just watching this shit unfold and you're just like, I am single-handedly responsible for one of his like history's most like villainous, like
He was the worst. Hitler was the absolute worst.
Well, I don't think he was the absolute worst, but he was up there.
Who was worse? When Kanye was like trying to make him cool, like there. Do you remember? Were you following that?
I still like Kanye because that's okay. Sometimes he just says his music's shit. Good. Huh?
His music's good.
It's not even just about his music. I don't agree with the like anti-Semitic stuff. But
I said thank you, by the way.
Yeah, no, I don't agree. And I actually didn't even get too like involved into it because I was just like, ew.
My dad's Jewish.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know if I don't that's that. But sometimes he says stuff that makes you think. Like it was the other like was it 4 or 5 years ago? He was like, what's the point of thinking? I'm actually gonna do a video on that. I was writing it out. And when you first hear it, you're like, what's the point of thinking? You know? But then the more you deep it, the more you're like, actually, what is the point of thinking? Because listen to this. When I go to write a story, right? When I go to write, before I write, in my head, I'm like stressing, like, okay, like, what's the story going to be? And then I like, you know, sort of play everything in my head as to like, this is where it's going to go. And this is where I want this, that, and the other. And then I sit and actually start typing, all that shit goes. Because I'm literally just listening to a story being told and I'm seeing it. So that means that all of the energy that I spent trying to figure out this perfect story was a waste of fucking time. Because when it comes down to sitting and creating, once flow is initiated, that's going to come through. So what was the point?
Subconscious mind is so powerful.
I don't even think the subconscious, but carry on. Sorry.
Oh, we'll go on.
No, go on.
Oh, we got a supercomputer in our brain.
I think outside of form, because I think it's a super consciousness. I don't think it's a subconsciousness. I think it's a super consciousness that's sort of like taking in more things than... Okay, so I was putting my contacts on. And I grabbed, there's a bottle of peroxide, like contact lens solution that's got peroxide in it. And then there's another one that's just for rinsing my lenses. I grabbed the one that had peroxide in it because I was going to rinse my eyeballs. And I wasn't paying attention, but somehow something was paying attention. And I put it down.
Well, that's subconscious mind, I think, maybe. No.
It was. I think it's a super consciousness. That it's something that's above like the physical form is what I'm trying to say. But when I picked it up, I put it back down and I realized somebody very quickly said that's not the same, because the bottle that I got to rinse my contacts was newer, so it would be heavier. And when I picked it up and it wasn't heavy, I realized that. But it happened so quickly, like something was processing the information when I wasn't even like cognizant of it to let you know to put it down. And if you move in that way, and the less you think,
I think you're right.
The less you think, the more that starts to happen.
I find that giving correct incentives too, like sport is such a good way of testing these theories. Like if I go bowling and I try and bowl, I know I'm going to do terrible. But if I tell myself, listen, Gary, if you bowl good, I'm going to take you out to steak dinner tonight. Okay. And then I just stop thinking. I'm going to bowl amazing.
Right.
Just let it all happen.
Do or don't. There is no try.
There is no try. Exactly.
That's going to be a shirt. Yoda. I'm going to write that down. Yoda.
Is that not a shirt yet? If it's not,
we're kicking up designs for dress.
Yes. Go buy clothes from Jolie. It is dressfordystopia.com. She also has a Zoom. You can talk to her on Zoom.
Don't talk to me. I don't want to talk to y'all on Zoom. That's why.
You don't want to talk to me. You don't want to talk to me. It's like $1,000.
Unless you want to pay $1,000, sure, I'll talk to you.
It's worth it.
It's free.
It is totally worth it. It really is. It's worth it.
I'm like an anti-hype man. Gary's trying to hype me up, and I'm like, nah, fuck that. Don't talk to me.
His paintings. She's a phenomenal artist.
Feel free to buy the paintings. But yeah,
You're a photographer.
Do right? that as well. I do a lot. Mm. It's the ADD gets you going.
Me too. Me too. Me too. And I've really got to put walls around it. So I've got this game in the sports program in the college. And I have new ideas all the time. We could do an app. Ooh, we could do all this stuff. But I'm like, no, Gary, this is it. Game, sports, college. Done. Stop thinking, Gary. Yeah.
What's the point of thinking?
Kanye was right about that. He's right about a lot of stuff. But
there's some things that I'm just like, I like that. Like, I just, there even that song that he put out with Jay-Z, No Church in the Wild.
I love that song.
One of my favorite songs. Yeah.
What's a king to a god? What's a god to a non-believer?
Right.
Don't believe in anything.
So my brain takes that and just goes off, right? And I'm like, gods are actually parasites that like feed on our beliefs, right? And so if you stop believing in a god, then it dissipates. Like, that's deep. And maybe I'm just projecting my bullshit on Kanye, right? Because he goes like, what's the point of thinking? And I'm like, what is the point of thinking? Because if you actually stop thinking, you actually allow for your higher consciousness to come through and work in this dimension. I don't know if that's what he meant, but that's what I think he meant.
I think he was trashed when he posted that stuff. I think he's an alcoholic. I think so. And I think he's afraid to admit it. And so he thinks of all this other stuff. I'm bipolar. No, you've got these uppers and downers from alcohol. That's what I think is going on. And I don't think he's really an anti-Semite. I think that he gets drunk and he says the stupidest crap possible on his Twitter. And then he wakes up the next day, and instead of admitting that he made a mistake, he doubles down on it. And if he had just come out and said, I was so fucking trashed when I posted that, I was mad because Mark Zuckerberg, who's Jewish, blocked my account, blocked my Twitter, because I was following the entire thing. He was talking shit to Diddy on Instagram, and then someone from Instagram blocked Kanye for his own good, because he was on one. And then Kanye goes to Twitter, F the Jews, Mark Zuckerberg's a Jew. That's what he did. Don't you know? That's what he posted. I'm going to war against the Jews.
That's terrible.
God. Are you posting this onto?
I don't even know if I can put this on YouTube now, because you know they have AI that like scrubs everything.
This is why, by the way, if you're listening to this, I think we're okay on Spotify. But if if you're listening to this right now, this is why our conversations at Optimum College are always private. I only post clips because we get on one at Optimum College. And I don't like having to think, hey, is this going to... My heart's good. Your heart's good. You know, let us talk. We're not going to say anything out of context. Sure, I sounded like I said something crazy there.
He's Jewish, so he can't be racist. Do you hear about Dilbert?
My dad's Jewish. I'm not religious. I'm not okay, religious, but my dad's Jewish.
His father
is wonderful. So and my Jewish friends are wonderful. I was very offended when Kanye said that stuff. I was seriously.
I mean, it was offensive.
It was. It totally was.
It wasn't like, I don't know who's out there like, oh, you know, I don't know. Just,
if he had just said, just like, I was trashed. I was mad at Mark Zuckerberg. And because Mel Gibson did the same damn thing. When Mel Gibson was drunk, I don't even know if you're.
Why are people, okay, I'm going to leave this alone. So why is that as soon as people get drunk, that's what they do?
They say, here's what I think. I'll give you my theory on this, okay? The brain has got all these ideas racing through it, and not everything is our idea. You know, Kanye
mind parasites.
Exactly. And alcohol has a way of releasing, it is like opening this valve to all these ideas that are not even necessarily our own. Nothing's our idea. We're going around collecting things from the world, and we synthesize that. And that synthesis becomes us. But until it's synthesized, it's just a bunch of sound clips and bites and who knows what you picked up. And especially when people are drunk and they just want to hurt other people. And Mel Gibson is drunk and he's arrested by somebody and he finds out the cop's Jewish and he's like, you know, he's drunk. You guys are responsible for all the wars in the world. And that's obvious nonsense. And it's so sad because Mel Gibson is one of the most talented directors and actors. I feel so, it's awful. Braveheart's one of my favorite movies.
I heard True. The guy that animates Dilbert got canceled.
Yes, he was going off on one. I don't want to live near black people, he was saying.
I'm sorry, I laugh at everything. So I'd be like, why?
And then he found some black people who agreed with him. And he was like, see, I'm not a racist. This black guy agrees with me. Because some black guy was like, yeah, I don't want to live near white people either.
That's my point. Hold on, I'm out of focus. Because I think I'm going to refocus my camera. So from what I was told, this was like somebody told me third party, but he got canceled because he said that like some research was done and something about black people don't like white people or something like that.
Yes, my hair looks a mess right now. I don't know if you're showing video. I'm letting the philosopher in me come out. Yeah, Einstein had wild hair was what I was going to say too. So, hey, I got something in common with him. Anyway. Yes, he took some study of like some small sample group that said like something that like 20, I don't even remember something, but he went off on one and that guy, he's trying to get attention. Scott Adams, he's trying to get attention. And I don't like that Elon's doing this now, too. Elon's posting some stuff like this, too. It's just so stupid.
What's Elon posting? I'm like detached from everything. I just watch every once in a while somebody sends me something.
This was so embarrassing because I want Optimum College to be. I like Elon. I like what he's doing. What Elon is doing for renewable energy and stuff, it's so good. Like, we do need that. And like,
what did he do? He's like
posting, out of every single thing in the world that the richest man alive could focus on, he's like, oh, do you know that most like crimes against whites are committed by black people? I'm like, are you kidding me, bro? Like, out of everything, he posted some graph about it. And I'm like, you know why, Elon? Because, okay, maybe that graph is true. I don't know. I'm assuming it's true. Elon posted it. And I'm like, you know what? How about if you, instead of just posting that, how about we talk about the fact that the black community in the United States is living in generational poverty because they were slaves for 300 years. And that
living in generational poverty because they were slaves. As you spoke about with the Tulsa bombing, they got out of that pretty quickly. It's the systemic racism that's built into the structure of the society. It's structural violence that no matter what, that keeps trying to keep them down. They got out of that very quickly in the early 1900s, not that long after slavery was abolished, theoretically. No, the system is set up to keep them down. Like that's, it's not because of slavery. They have done and continue to do. We had an African, despite everything, African American president. Still, we rise.
The best.
The system itself is set up to keep people.
I was
of color,
deep diving. I was
down.
Deep diving why black people became slaves, and it's literally just because it was easier to differentiate escaped slaves from white people. Like it used to be, like the Irish would be the slaves, or like it would be some minority within a larger European group that was the slaves. Be like, oh, let's make the Irish into the slaves or something like that. It was really because of the difficulty of capturing an escaped slave. Like if you're Irish and you're enslaved by other white people, then you escape, you can just blend in. But if you're like, okay, let's make all the slaves of the same color, then we know if they escape. Like, oh, that one in that crowd over there, that must be an escaped slave. That's like the only reason. It's, and like that, that's, it's like.
The etymology of the word slave comes from Slav, as in Slavic.
Yes.
Because
I did not know that. I did not know that.
Yeah, because the Slavs were the slaves. Like that's literally, they were chronically and generationally. I laugh at everything, by the way, just FYI. They were like chronically enslaved. They just kept being enslaved by literally everybody, so that their name became synonymous with slavery. It was a very recent phenomenon that Africans were enslaved. And in the grand scheme of things, if you look up the true history of the Dark Ages, there was a time when actually the Africans enslaved the Spanish as well.
Yeah.
So people sort of want this sort of connection between African American slavery, and that's not it. If you look at the broad stroke of history, it was a very small period of time. Also, the true reason, or at least it's theorized that the true reason why slavery was abolished, it was because white people were actually enslaved as well. You're right that yes, an African American or African person was easier identified, but more and more whites were being enslaved, and that was part of the reason for the Civil War. You can look up like white slavery. There's because the Irish and things like that. People like
Jews.
To say, well, it's
hey, huh? Jews. People from my dad's side of the family, have a long history of being enslaved, it's put into ghettos.
Exactly. So it's I don't know, it's wild. But Elon Musk is not the first time he's done. I actually have a video, probably on my YouTube somewhere. It was on my TikTok, but he kept saying that he's been saying that there's too many what's he saying? There's too many people, too many people. And then I think he spun it. And then all of a sudden there's not enough people. But what he was actually saying was that there's not enough white people. That's what he was trying to say. And then he pulled up like,
Elon.
And then he was saying like, we need to have more kids.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, he meant white people need to have more kids because, and he used Nigeria.
I've been trying to figure out what he's been meaning, because we've got so many people. Like, there's so many people in the world.
No, there's not enough white people. That's what he's saying.
Oh, my God. Come on,
he's saying white people are dying out and that you guys need to breed more.
He's so smart. How does he not know that?
He's not that smart. That's...
Maybe you're right. And this idea that white people are a monolith, like, it's the most ridiculous thing. You know who's the best at killing white people? White people. Look at, like, this. He pulls up this chart. Oh, white people are being oppressed by the, killed by African. Dude, look at World War One, World War Two. Like, we are the best at killing ourselves.
Okay, this whole, everybody's getting canceled for just saying the wrong thing. When a person actually says something that's truly fucked up, but you've canceled all the people who've said just kind of like stupid shit, when somebody's actually saying things that are truly problematic, that wolf, like crying wolf thing, like it doesn't have that same effect anymore, that same impact anymore, because we're, everybody's just like, you're just canceling everybody just for saying dumb shit. You know? 100%
agree. Like, it, we just need to let people talk. Sometimes I like going to, like, someone invited me to where they were talking about my ideas on like an anonymous, I'd never been to a truly like anonymous forum before. And someone messaged me and was like, dude, your ideas, your theory of everything is like blowing up on freaking 4chan. And I'd never been, I don't know if you know what 4chan is.
I've heard of it.
It's it's like a forum where there's like no rules, like anyone can say anything. And it's like the wildest. And I'd never been there. And I go there and it was a wild experience just to see like, this is the id of humanity. There's a lot of good in humanity. Even when you can say anything and not get in trouble for it, there's a lot of good people. Like when people are just speaking straight from the heart, you're gonna hear some really wild stuff too. But I think generally the heart of humanity is good. We've generally got a good heart.
Yeah, I think we maybe should get to a place where, I don't know, give people a break and also don't act like we're all better than people. Like if somebody's saying something where it could be truly hurtful, like what Elon is saying, you know, or what Kanye said, where it's like you're really, you could instigate violence against a specific group of people. Like, that's problematic. But somebody giving in their opinion of like, well, I don't know, I don't like black people. Okay, fine, I don't give a shit. I don't like you. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, but that's their personal thing. I don't know.
It really comes down to me that we all are really one family. We really are. You can pull it all back. We all come from the San tribe. I think it's this. We talked about this last time, I think. The San tribe in Africa. And if you look at their faces of the San tribe, it all makes perfect sense. Because they look like every race. They look like a mix of black, white, and Asian.
Yeah.
And it's not because they're that at all. It's because we branched off from that. So we look like them. All the races of Earth look like the San tribe. And that's what I always look at things from that perspective, that we really are just one big family. And I feel like as long as people do that, they it's very difficult to go wrong.
Yeah. I guess for me, the biggest thing is just like, stop. The end of the day, talk about even Elon. The guy is a racist. I mean, he is. That does not negate what he is doing for energy. I'm not a fan. I've never really been a fan. I was a fan actually at the beginning, and I started to learn more about him, and I was like, I don't particularly care for him. But I think he's a victim of his, you know, his upbringing. He grew up in apartheid South Africa.
Yeah.
He's a rich kid, so I don't think he's really had to grow up emotionally. It is what it is. I just feel like we do, to your point, have better things that we need to focus on, like building communities and curing this like disease of loneliness and isolation. And how do we make it so that our military is, you know, creating and constructing, not killing and destructing? Like, these are things that I think are more important to discuss than somebody saying something stupid, like ideas.
Yes, exactly. Let's make a video game. Okay. Let's build a billion-dollar company. Let's do it. Let's change the world.
Or at least let's change into a different world than the one we are presently in.
Yeah. You're the bomb, Joe. Thanks for talking to me.
Thanks for hopping on. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Bye.